All right, if you have your Bibles and want to follow along with me, I'm in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, or that's right before 2 Peter. Right before 2 Peter, and 1 Peter. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really need to introduce myself. Everybody here knows me, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. That's just the fact. So I really don't need to tell you who I am or what I do. You already know that. All right. Well, anyway, don't ask my wife what I do because she might say nothing. All right, but we're in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you at one time or another have had some adversity? Anybody have troubles? Anybody? A little bit? None of y'all? No troubles? Okay. Well, I have. And sometimes more than others. I imagine you too in your lives. And here's what the thing is you never know what somebody's going through, do you? You just don't. I mean, you shake somebody's hand, you say hallelujah and I love you and I'm praying for you, but you have no idea what they're going through, do you? You have no idea what trials they're facing, adversities they're going through. Let's look at 1 Peter. And tonight our message is on victory over adversity. I don't know about you, but I would like and I would love to have victory over adversity. That's one thing I think that would be a great thing to have. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, let's start there and find out where this goes. Don't have much longer, so listen fast and I'll try to preach fast. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be then reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So all of us at one time or another have faced adversity, when we've gone through some troubles and problems. How many have heard of Oswald Chambers? I think some of us. My utmost for his highest. He wrote that book. Did you know Oswald Chambers was saved on the preaching of Charles Spurgeon? I don't know if you knew that or not, but he was. But he wrote this. He says, suffering is the heritage of the bad, of the penitent, and of the Son of God. Each one ends on the cross. The bad thief is crucified, the penitent thief is crucified, and the Son of God is crucified. By these signs, we know the widespread heritage of suffering. So adversity affects us all. And really, if you think about adversity, if you think about problems that you've got in your life, it's sort of like, and you've ever been to the pond before, and you've taken a rock, you've picked it up, and you skipped across the pond. I think we've all done that at one time or another. And hopefully it didn't hit the neighbor's cat on the other side of the pond. We won't tell those stories. But if you take a rock, instead of skipping it across the pond, if you just take it and you throw it in the pond, it sends out ripples, doesn't it? I mean, they stretch all the way out to the bank. And the bigger the rock, the more interesting it becomes, right? And the larger the ripples get, and the further out they go. But that's sort of like adversity. So you can have something that happens in your life, trouble, pain that comes along. And from that one instance, you can feel the effects for days, for weeks, for months, for years. Because that's the way adversity works. But I'm telling you tonight is that there is the possibility of having victory over adversity. And even though adversity can last a long time, there is still victory. And that victory, and you know, still comes through Jesus Christ. Still comes through Jesus Christ. So number one is the commonality of trials. The commonality of trials. In other words, we will all experience trials. Peter said this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Now, what is he saying? What he is saying is this. It's not like you're in bed at night and someone calls you 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. No names, we won't talk about that. And you weren't expecting that phone call. Or 1:30 in the morning and somebody's knocking on your door wanting some bread. You know? We're not in as if you didn't know that was going to happen. But it's sort of saying like this, expect it to. What does it talk about in the Bible? It talks about that person that when they come and they won't leave, and they finally he gets up and he puts on his clothes, he goes out and gives them, right? Because he's not leaving. But what it's sort of saying is, for that same person, is have that food ready because that person is going to come by. That stranger will show up at some time or another just to have some food set off to the side because it's coming. And that's what adversity is. Just know this, be prepared, because either you just got out of adversity or in the middle of it, or it's right around the corner. I mean, it's just there. So that's the way adversity is. It's commonality of trials. And we're all going to face them at one time or another. Now, here's what's interesting. When I looked up fiery trials, two definitions I saw there. One of them, and we'll get to this later, and this is very interesting. One of them, it gave the sort of the thought of smelting. Fiery trials is in smelting, where you're taking iron ore and trying to pull from it the iron. Smelting. The other one from the definition of fiery trials was, and I've got to look at this word, conflagration. There's a $50 word. It means a large destructive fire. A large destructive fire. But both of them came from fiery trial. Now keep that in the back of your head and the top of your bonnet or wherever you place those thoughts so that you don't lose them. And we'll come back to those in a little bit. But most of us, if you think about it, we think about adversity. And if you listen to TV and if you listen to the news and you listen to some of those guys there, they sort of give you the mentality that after you accept Christ as your Savior, it's Disneyland after that, don't they? I mean, you get saved, you know Christ as your Savior, then your bank account increases. Your car, you're just going to get a better car eventually. As long as you send the money to this address appearing at the bottom of your screen, right? I mean, that's sort of the mentality of most of these folks. 1-800, you know, you're a big sucker, whatever it is. And, sorry about that. But that's sort of the mentality of most of the churches that you find on the TV. So you've got to be smart about this. You've got to think about this. You've got to be sort of like the Bereans. I mean, you just can't suck in whatever's told to you and say, well, that must be true. Because he's saying it with such emphasis. I mean, and here's what's so crazy. Here's how our society is. If you say something loud enough, and you say something long enough, and vehemently, it must be true. That's right. That's right. But it's not. You better get it right from the Word of God. But we're all going to face adversity at one time or another. And listen to this. Adversity can be good. Adversity can be good. You think about this. If you shape a clay pot, if you take some clay out and you shape it, and you stick it out in the sun, and the sun sets on it day in and day out, it's still a clay pot. Okay? But you put it in the white hot heat of a furnace at the right temperature for the right amount of time, and what does it become? Porcelain. Porcelain. And I could take you to some folks that have got some wonderful pieces of china, if you will, that sell for more money than either one of you have or any of us have in this room. Beautiful pieces of china. But that same piece of lump of clay was in the ground not very long ago. So it depends what it goes through, right, to determine the quality. So adversity can actually add value. Adversity can actually add value. But we're all going to face it at one time or another. Number two is this, the commendation to the Christian. There is victory in identifying with Christ. See, when we suffer because we are trying to do what is right, we can stand firm and know that we are following the pattern of our Savior. Vance Havner said this, at the Nicene Council, an important church meeting in the 4th century A.D., of the 318 delegates, fewer than 12 had not lost an eye or a hand or did not limp on a leg lamed by torture for their Christian faith. Out of 318, less than 12. Now listen, And I know we've heard these things before here at Calvary Baptist Church. I know we've heard these things. Many of us have preached, and we'd go back and we'd talk about what the Christians have gone through in the old days. What would Christians have gone through in medieval times? I mean, when we were persecuted by the Catholic Church. I mean, we've talked about that before. Now, be honest, here in America, is that the form that adversity takes anymore? By and large, no, it doesn't. What it does take, though, is you don't get promoted. You don't get the raise. You're outed. You're the outcast at the company picnic. You know, you're not the included person at activities. I mean, if when you're dealing with lost folks, you're the one that's snubbed. And even when you become an adult, sometimes it's not real popular to be a Christian, especially if you're wanting to stand firm for your Christian faith. And why is that? Because if you're really living for God, your life is an indictment against theirs. Because you make them feel uncomfortable. Because they see within you what they want to be, they're not willing to admit. If you're living for God. If you're trying to do what is right, they don't feel comfortable around you. And so what do we usually do? We want them to feel comfortable around us. So we try to break down those things that are calling the adversity, that are causing the adversity. But you know what? I don't believe, if I've read my Bible right, that's what we're called to do. The last time I checked my Bible, I believe we are supposed to stand straight on the Word of God no matter what. And I think we're supposed to suffer the adversity. I mean, I think we were called out of this world to be different, to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, because we have been saved by His grace through faith. And we have been purchased with the precious said blood of Jesus Christ. Now, last time I checked, that was right. I don't know, but I mean, last time I checked my Bible, we are supposed to be different. Now, you may be having a different version, and I'm sorry, but that's what my Bible reads. And I'm sorry, but I'm getting tired of people saying, well, I'm just trying to make a difference, and I just want to be like them to win them. Okay. You're going to become like them so much that you're going to lose your effectiveness. Because that's the path you're heading. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I have seen hundreds of young Marines and sailors who come in, who I find out later that their dad is a pastor. Their dad's a preacher. Their mother's a preacher, sorry. Some of them. But if you listen to their language, if you watch their lives, you have no idea. You have none. Folks, young ones, no matter what age you are, stand up for Christ. Take the adversity. We need people to stand firm in the presence of God. And listen, victory is in the presence of God. Victory is still in the... Peace and victory are not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God. Did you hear that? Peace and victory are not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God. I think about this. I thought about this man that had lost his wife, had lost his job, had lost his fortune, lost his house, and eventually had lost his wife. Now, he was, of course, greatly depressed. This is many years ago. He wasn't sure what to do. We got out, and after the funeral, he took a walk. Wasn't sure what to make of everything. As he walked down the sidewalk, he came along and he saw these guys building this church. And there's the old stone churches. Now, I've been over there to all these different European countries, and they've got some beautiful stone churches. Sorry to say they're not Baptist, but they're really beautiful structures. But making it out of stone. And he watched this guy cut this stone into almost a triangular shape. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm shaping this down here so it fits better up there. I'm shaping this down here so it fits better up there. See, adversity shapes and molds us if we cling to Christ. I mean, adversity can change us one way or the other, and we're going to find that in a second. But the caution to us Christians is sometimes we don't suffer because we are living for Christ. Sometimes we don't suffer because we're trying to do what is right. Sometimes we suffer. I mean, if you go into your job and you cuss out your boss, heaven forbid, you're not going to suffer for the cause of Christ. I mean, you're going to suffer because your mouth. I mean, you're going to suffer because of things. And sometimes we find that in Christians. And I'm tired of Christians that feel like they can just preach and say whatever they want to, and you're just supposed to receive it gladly, no matter how nasty it comes across. Okay? And I've been around some harsh preachers. And in fundamental circles, sometimes we get some guys, no love in their hearts, but you just better take what they're saying and get over it. Okay, well, I'm not. You better check yourself at the door. Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not for God so hated the world. Because I love Him because He first loved me. Now, I'm not here preaching to you that, hey, we shouldn't preach about hellfire and damnation, but I'm telling you what, we need to know what is the motive of our minds and our hearts. When we're trying to reach others, we should be trying to reach others with a tear in our mind and our heart, a tear from our eyes, saying, you know what, God, give me somebody that doesn't know Christ. Lord, show me someone that needs to know Your truth of the gospel. God, please present someone to me. Give me that opportunity that I might share with them the lost. Show me the lost, that I might show them the truth. But sometimes we suffer because of our own. And Christians, that ought not to be. Now let's get back to this, and I don't have just a few minutes. I just want to take this quick. I want to get back to this. This is a good point. Let's get back to the smelting, and I'll finish this up. The smelting and the $50 word, conflagration, whatever that word is. Large destructive fire. Smelting. Do you know how to smelt? I don't. I had to look it up on the internet. Okay? But I do know this. If you take iron ore and put a lot of heat to it, and that's all you do, you're going to have a melted puddle of iron ore. The iron will not come out of the ore, of the rock. You will not pull it out. You must have what's called a reducing agent. A reducing agent. With iron ore, it's a petroleum product. It's a carbon-based petroleum product called petroleum coke. And it's a very simple ingredient, but all it does is adds electrons to that substance and then allows it to pull out the iron from the iron ore. Now listen. You can, when adversity comes, allow it to be a large destructive fire. You can. Say, God, I don't know why You're doing this to me. It's all Your fault. And get bitter about it. And I have before. Okay? Or I can say, God, make me more like You. Make me that vessel fit for Your use. God, show me and mold me and shape me. Pull out of me that which You see fit for the Master's use. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to out of you that which is most valuable, and it can only be done if you allow Him to do it. I mean, you can't do it by yourself. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to try harder, I'm just going to do what's right, and I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. But we have to have God in our lives. I mean, we need the presence of God in our lives if we're going to make it over adversity, because there's some adversity that will drive you so far down you don't even know if you can stand up again, except it be for the presence of God. Folks, if you've never experienced when you're down on your knees and no one else is around, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God met with you that day, that when you got up, God was there, you know you're going to have victory over adversity. All right, let's pray.